a selection of verses from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now, at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Saviour. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. Chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Chapter 3, verse 3, 1 to 8. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Not so much a technical sermon this morning, but more as a living testimony to the Word of God. I've been experiencing something that's been enlivening to me over these last months, even though through these months, Sue and I have had a considerable share of health, life, and death concerns to minister to within our wider family. The life of faith for all of us is not a given easy passage, for Satan is ever active in seeking to bring despondency, disruption, and spoil anything God and the Holy Spirit are prompting for our walk in faith with Jesus Christ. In the use of last quarter's Scripture Union Bible Encounter Notes, reading through the account of the crucifixion and resurrection, writings of the prophet and his prophecies in Nahum, St. Paul's guidance of Timothy and Titus, particularly in his ministry on Crete, the writer of 1 Kings narrating Solomon's faithful years to his turning aside from God's promises. And then the Scripture Union notes going into the early years of the Christian church, as Luke recounts it in his book of Acts. I was being caught up afresh and anew as to what I was spending time reading and reflecting upon. In contrast, it was not at all like reading a novel or a biography, where those are recreational or for interest in another person's life experiences and thoughts. Coming across to me in God's Word, ministering into my life and heart, were people. People whose lives were being led, encouraged, influenced by God the Father. Telling of the good news of the saving good news of Jesus Christ. And there was the promptings of the Holy Spirit in filling. Because of resurrection faith and hope, their lives were communicating spiritual truths and values, soul to soul, as it came across to me, whose lives had made a difference in their day, whose lives have continued to do so throughout history and are continuing to make a living difference into our times too. Luke, afresh, became a vibrant person and writer who had gone out of his way to research and to witness personally to all generations in his gospel the good news of Jesus, not simply or only to Theophilus, his noble and honored correspondent. Jesus, who he tells of, is not another man-made deity that the history of the world is burdened with, but Jesus is its God-given Savior, who personally comes to save through his death and resurrection, a Savior to know, to relate to love, because he first loved us. Paul, likewise, in his New Testament epistle, enables us to relate to Titus and himself. For there again, there is a relating soul to soul, speaking of our Heavenly Father's love and purpose, and on into our lives now. I found this also both enlivening and challenging. Into the book of Acts, I found myself into the circumstances of the apostles, previously the 12, as the fullness of the resurrection blossomed to them. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit the Father would send. They would not be left on their own. God the Holy Spirit would come to teach, remind, guide, empower, to be with them and in them. They were to be alert to the Holy Spirit. And that is speaking into our times too. Thus the apostolic church expanded as the apostles bore witness to Jesus. As those who turned in repentance and faith to Jesus mushroomed into the thousands, they became known as believers. They were eventually seen as the people of the way, for their lives were clearly so significantly different, it attracted notice and others to believe. In Acts, they are also referred to as disciples, because since that day of Pentecost, the believers were giving themselves to being obedient, to being built up in the apostolic faith, crucially important for every age and time. They're also called brothers, indicating the close relationship they had in working together in Christ. I need to add, and the word brothers in Scripture includes sisters. Later in Antioch, believers in Jesus Christ for the first time were called Christians, Acts 11:26. In Acts, the gatherings of Christian believers are also referred to as the church, that is, people united in Christ. Later again, Paul, in writing to the churches he established in the Mediterranean regions of the Roman Empire, calls those in the faith saints. Saints, a word meaning Christian believers in Jesus set apart to be holy. Each of the terms reflects a living truth about the lives being lived in Jesus Christ. I found these descriptive names speaking a challenge in how they relate to me and how my life relates to the faith in Jesus they all point to and highlight. The searching question for me was what the Church of Jesus may be welcomed or judged by, in what the world around observe in me, and maybe you'd agree in all of us too, together and individually. I became excited to read on of Peter and John as they preached, witnessed, and contended for the good news in the name of Jesus, both before the people and before the council, the Sanhedrin, declaring there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. It was in the name of Jesus they bore witness so that people heard the way of hope and new life in Jesus to respond to. Coming alive and were also Stephen, the first martyrs for Jesus, Philip, the evangelizing of the Gentile Ethiopian government minister, baptizing him as he professed Christian faith, Barnabas, who had a clear but gently firm ministry in encouraging outreach up in Antioch of Syria. And almost unexpectedly, certainly to Peter, was the vision from God to go to a Gentile Roman centurion called Cornelius in the garrison headquarters town of Caesarea, who with his family, his household, his friends, became the first European non-Jewish converts as the Holy Spirit came upon them, even while Peter was preaching about the cross and resurrection. Thus coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and the six brothers with him, Acts 11:12, baptized them all. A wonderful passage of God's sovereign will and call to faith in action. God in his love has awakened a fresh awareness of who I am reading of, and to know that through his holy word, these are Christians with a living resurrection faith speaking into my soul to walk daily in faith in Jesus Christ, grow in spiritual truths, and hold to Christian values in a living and thanksgiving way. God clearly calls believers today to be alive to him, heart, mind, soul, strength, alive too to the living witnesses who can be met through his word, to be fired by them in who they all are, what they did, for what they testify to is that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the one who came to die in our place on the cross, who took our sin upon himself, shed his blood to redeem us, died to give us new life, and who on the third day rose from the dead triumphant over sin, death, evil, and Satan. The faith laid before us through all these witnesses is a resurrection faith, for through faith in Christ, God raises us to new life now. Yes, today. Let the people of the way, the Christians, the disciples, the brothers and sisters, the saints, the church, the apostles, the writers of Scripture, become alive and living to you, so that for the world which God has declared love and concern for, souls can be saved through you and me. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit invite us all, heart, mind, soul, and strength, to be clearly seen as a people of the way of Jesus in all we do in our todays and our tomorrows. A final word. It's a challenging quote from Andy Bathgate, who headed up Script Union Scotland until just 2020. He wrote this: "Surveys tell us the attractiveness of believers is a primary means of drawing people to God." Let us pause for some moments to think, reflect, and pray over his words and what God has been speaking to us this morning.